Today we're going to go to the fourth reading. Sorry, the fifth reading. And in Chamishi, or Parshas Chukas, following the water crisis and the purported sin of Moshe and Aaron, their inability to go over to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and then the Jewish people's advance towards the land and the beginning of their battles of conquest. The Torah here shares with us the details of Aaron HaKohen's passing. The fifth reading opens up with the Jewish people traveling Vayisu Mekodesh. They're traveling from this place called Kodesh, which we referenced yesterday. Vayuveyo Bnei Yisrael, the entirety of the congregation of Israel called Ha'eda, comes Hor Ha'or. Hor Ha'or is literally a mountain on top of a mountain, or a mountain summit that had a smaller mountain summit atop it. And this is a very, very important place in Jewish history, because it's at Hor Ha'or that Aaron HaKohen takes leave of the Jewish people. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, God says to Moshe, Ve'alaren Behir HaHor, on this mountain, summit upon a summit, Al Gvul Eretz Edom, on the border of the land of Edom Lamer. Now this is really interesting, because why are we talking about Gvul Eretz Amin? The first time it says Hor HaHor, it doesn't give the coordinates. It doesn't tell us that it's Al Gvul Eretz Amin, Eretz Edom, on the border of Edom. It just says they came, says the Kol Ha'eda. Rashi tells us the entire nation, all of those who would live, who would enter the land of Israel, none of those who were destined to die in the land in the desert were alive anymore. And Rashi describes the mountain and the details of the summit on top of a summit. And he says that there was three mountains that were left, even though there was the clouds of glory that would be Manmech Es HaGavoya, that would flatten any kind of hill or mountain so the Jewish people would be able to comfortably and easily traverse the desert. There were three mountains that were left. One was for Har Sinai, one was for the Torah being given, the other was for Moshe Rabbeinu's passing, and the other was for Aaron's passing. So that's why this is one of the three mountains they encountered in the Sinai Desert, and it's called Hor HaHor, and that's what it's about. But it doesn't say anything about Gevul Eretz Edom. And here, in Pasuk Chav Gimel, in the next verse, it gives us the coordinates. It's Al Gvul Eretz Edom. It's on the border of the land of Edom. So Rashi tells us, Magid, clearly something is being conveyed to us here. The Torah is trying to say something about the land of Edom. Because they made these friendly overtures towards Esav, towards Edom, it didn't work. Edom didn't accept the friendship, but we reached out in friendship. So Nifritzu Maaseihem, this caused a breakage, if you will, of within the Jewish people's righteousness. V'chosru ha-tzadik hazeh, the impact was that this tzaddik was taken from us. In other words, nothing happens without an impact. Everything has an impact. When there's fraternizing and friendship with people who have rotten morals and values, it has an effect. Even if they don't let you in. They didn't let the Jewish people in. They said no. They said, we're very antagonistic. We're going to come out. We're going to do war. We're going to make a battle with you. Yeah, that's true. So we ran away. But even the reaching out had a negative impact. Now, in fairness, Aaron was going to pass regardless. It's not like Aaron died as a consequence or a punishment, but there's a little bit of a connection. Yeah, this had something to do with the fact that the Jewish people's connection with Edom cost. There was a price. V'chein, Hanavi Omer Olei Shafat, the Navi, whose name was Elazar ben Dedahu, he tells the king Yehoshaphat from Melech Yehuda, he says, Behischabercha imachazyohu poretz Hashem es ma'asecha, because you became friends with the Chazyohu, who was the king of the Malchus Yisrael, the kingdom of Israel. Now, on the surface, that's a good thing, though. No? Unity amongst Jewish people. Unity at any cost. Well, maybe not. That kind of unity did not bring us blessings. In fact, quite the contrary. Because Yehoshaphat reached out to Ahaziyahu, who had terrible morals and a horrible attitude towards life that was filled with idolatry and all other kinds of things which were antithetical to Judaism. So the Navi says, as a result of this, because you came together, you made this common pursuit of a navy, that's why your actions will be shattered. They'll be broken down. You will not succeed. And indeed, the ships broke apart. A gale storm hit, and the ships that they had built or created together, this armada, this fleet they created together, in the end was destroyed, and they were not able to go to Tarshish. So this is the kind of the background over here. And then now that we have the background, we understand that everything has consequences, and the consequence, even if it indirect, nonetheless, it has a cost for us. The cost here is engendered in the loss of one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time, Yosef Aaron al-Am. If Aaron is going to be gathered onto his nations, a euphemism in the Torah for passing. For he will not come to the land, the Shenasat Levnei Yisrael, which I have given the Jewish people. And the reason? Well, it's not because of your friendship with Edom. The reason Aaron can come to Eretz Yisrael is Alasher Merisem Espi Lemei Meriva, because you were rebellious against my words at the waters of contention. So it's because they didn't listen to Hashem fully, and Moshe and Aaron struck the rock rather than speaking to the rock. This is why Aaron HaKohen has to pass on. Now, in fairness, Aaron HaKohen is going to pass on prematurely. Aaron HaKohen is dying because of the sin of striking the rock. But here is where the Torah records it to indicate that there is some kind of connection. And so, now that we know that Aaron has to pass on, and we know why he has to pass on, Moshe Rabbeinu gets the instructions. Kach asad, and take Aaron ves Elazar b'nei, and take his son Elazar. V'hal esam her ha'har. Go with them onto the mountain, the summit upon the summit. V'haf sheit aha es aharein es begodav. You'll strip Aaron of his raiments. V'hilbashtam es Elazar b'nei. And instead, his royal Kohanic raiments will now be worn by Elazar, his son. V'aaron, Yosef u'meisram. Aaron will be gathered on, and he will pass there. Rashi says, why does it say kachas Aaron? Take him. He's not like an object that you take. It sounds like you're manhandling Aaron almost. So Rashi says that the idea of lekicha here is not physical taking or grabbing or manhandling or touching. That's not what it means. It's a euphemism. It means take him, capture him, speak to him. And what kind of words? Dvarim shel nichumim, you'll speak to him words of consolation. Emor lo, Rashi says, you'll tell him, Ashrecha, how fortunate are you, Shetira Kisrecha, that you see your proverbial crown. And of course, this could refer literally to the tzitz, to the diadem that the Kohen Gadol would wear upon his forehead. So how fortunate are you to see your greatness, what's called the proverbial Keser Kahuna, passing on to your son, Noson Levincha, Masha'ein Ani Zakei Lekach. Moshe says, I am not going to merit this. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu's children, who by now are in their 40s, big boys, they grew up, one is 41, one is 43, 44, they should be ready to do some kind of leadership. And Moshe Rabbeinu desperately wants to see his own progeny fill his shoes. But Hashem says, no, that's not going to be the case. Children are very nice people, but it's a real Rebbe, a real leader has to take over, and that becomes Yehoshua, the disciple of Moshe. So that was the consolation that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to provide Aaron in this painful moment of departure. And so, despite this is the great difficulty that was attached to this, the Torah says, Vayas Moshe kasha tziva Hashem. Moshe did exactly as God had commanded him. Vayalu el hayr ha'har. He went up the mountain, le'enei kol ha'eda, before everybody. Rashi says, Vayas Moshe. Why do you have to say Moshe did? Moshe always does. Ah, afal pi shadavar kashali. This was a really tough assignment. This was very hard for him. But le'ikev, he did not refrain or restrain from doing what Hashem had asked, despite the fact that this is probably one of the most difficult things Moshe Rabbeinu ever had to do. And he does exactly as he was told. Vayafshit Moshe es Aaron ves begodav. Moshe Rabbeinu strips Aaron, takes off his clothes. Vayalbesh esam et Elazar b'nai, dresses Elazar in those royal Kohanic raiments. Vayomos Aharin sham. Aaron passes there, b'reish shahar. Now it doesn't say anything about Moshe Rabbeinu burying Aaron. It doesn't say about Elazar burying. And actually the Medrash tells us that God buried Aaron. Moshe was not there when Aaron passed away. Moshe was like a quasi-Kohen Gadol, because he had served as a Kohen Gadol. And so there's this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't become defiled, couldn't come in contact with the dead. And Elazar was now the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol couldn't come in contact with the dead. And so they left Aaron on this miraculous bed that they found there. Rashi talks about, he says that the clothes were the Kohanic clothes, and they walked into this cave, and after they walked into the cave, they saw Shom, Mita Mutzas, a bed that was made near Doluk. It saw a candle, a lantern burning. Amale Aleila Mita, they said to him, go on to the bed. Va'Allah, Pshayt Yadcha, just open your hands, open yourself, and Aaron lay down, and they left. And Hashem gave him the kiss of death. And that's how Aaron passed away. And they weren't there. And the Medrash tells us that Aaron was actually buried by God himself. No, not Moshe, not Elazar. So what happens? What happens is that they leave. Vayered Moshe ve'Elazar min ha'har. Moshe and Elazar go down from the mountain. And here, my dear friends, it gets very interesting. This is going to be the focus of this morning's class. Vayiru kol ha'ida. The whole congregation sees ki gova aharin, that Aaron has passed. Vayivku es aharin. They mourned for Aaron shloshim yom, for 30 days. Kol beis Yisrael, the entire house of Israel. So what does it mean, vayiru kol ha'ida? What does it mean they saw? Even Moshe and Elazar didn't see the passing of Aaron. What did they see? It doesn't say they went up to the cave. It says, Vayered Moshe ve'Elazar min ha'har. Moshe and Elazar came down from the mountain. If they came down, what did the people see? The pasuk is very specific. Vayiru kol ha'eda. The people saw. It should have said, Vayishmu. They heard. They became knowledgeable, aware. What did they see? And seeing sounds like they actually visualize something. So Rashi answers this question by telling us, quoting from the Medrash Tanchuma, he says, Kishero Moshe ve'Elazar yerdim, when they saw Moshe and Elazar coming down. Va'aron lo yorad. If you'll remember a few verses ago, it says they all went up together in front of all the Jewish people. Everybody saw. It was le'eni kol ha'ed that we say in verse 27. Right, it said Vayas Moshe. Moshe did exactly as he was told. Vayalu al Hayr Ha'har. They went up to Hayr Ha'har. Le'enei kol ha'eda. The entire nation saw three people going up the mountain, and then who did they see coming down the mountain? Just two, just Moshe and Elazar. So they saw, and when they saw, Va'aron le'yara dimayim, they said, "Hey, Heichon hu aharin? Where is your brother Aaron? Where's your dad?" Amar Lahem, he said, Mace. He's passed. He's passed. Amru, they said, really? Efshar Misha Amad Keneged Malach HaMalach, the one who stood against the angel, here referring to the angel of death. Va'atar Samagefa, he himself was able to single-handedly stop a plague. You don't stop plagues. And he did. And Yishlat Bay Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, has dominion over him? How could such a thing be? And so they started getting rebellious. I mean, these are people who are endlessly being rebellious. They didn't accept it. They didn't believe Moshe Rabbeinu. Miyad bikesh Moshe Rachman. Moshe Rabbeinu began to pray. He said, Rabbeinu Shalom, help me out of here. These crazy people. Now, who knows what they're accusing me of? Vehero malachi ashar eslehem. A heavenly vision was revealed to the Jewish people. What did they see? They saw mutal b'mita. They saw Aaron as if lying in his bear, he saw Aaron lying in state. Ro, so they saw, the Heminu, and they believed. So now we know the meaning according to Rashi. What does it mean when it says, Vayiru kol ha'eda, the whole nation saw? What did they see? They saw only Moshe and Aaron come down, but more importantly, they saw an image, a vision of Aaron being lying there, having passed on. The Targum Yerushalmi says something very interesting. It says when they saw, Moshe Rabbeinu had torn his clothes. Aaron is already a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is Elazar is a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol doesn't tear Kriya, but Moshe Rabbeinu did tear Kriya. So they came down the mountain, and this they saw Moshe with his clothes torn. They knew already what happened. They knew already. This is it. In Pshuta Shel Mikra, it's very hard to say, because if Moshe and Elazar were not there at the time of passing, so when exactly would they have torn the clothes? Presumably, the clothes are torn, the kriya takes place either at the time of passing, if you're right there, or later on at a time of emotion, of great emotion. So, I don't know. Rashi doesn't follow that approach. He follows the Medrash Tanchuma's approach, even though it sounds more miraculous and more far out. And also the pasuk says they saw ki gova aron. Torn clothes, that could be indicative of something, but it's not. You can't say you saw that Aaron had passed. But here it says ki gova. They saw that he had passed. And that's why Rashi follows the Medrash Tanchuma. Kigava means, yes, they actually saw, they could see that Aaron had passed. They saw this imagery, and they knew that this was the case. So they mourned. Who mourned? Kol Beis Yisrael. Everybody. Rashi says, Ha'anashim, ha'anashim, the men, the women, everybody mourned equally. Lefi shahaya aharin reidiv shalom, because Aaron was one who pursued peace. Umata lahava b'malim riva. He was able to bring about peace between those who had disputes and those who were in a state of contention. And especially ubein ish le'ishtei, between husband and wife. So Aaron HaKohen was the man who got involved in marital disputes. He was the original marriage counselor, and he saved many marriages. And so everybody appreciated Aaron. Moshe, man of truth, uncompromising, didn't move. But Aaron was like, you know, he was the kind of godly, a different job. So in Aaron's mandate, he was able to sometimes color the truth somewhat in order to bring about peace. And because of this, everybody wept equally. Everybody felt the loss of Aaron in the same way. And what happens immediately afterwards? What's the aftermath of everybody weeping and crying or feeling Aaron's loss? Vayishma haKnani. The Jewish people saw Aaron died. The Kanani heard Melech Arad, the king of Arad, Yeshev HaNegev, who sits in the Negev. He heard Kivo Yisrael Derech HaAsorim, that the Jewish people had come the way of the original Meraglim scouts. Vayilochem b'Yisrael. He came and he declared war and attacked the Jewish people. Vayishpi Menishevi. There was a captive that was taken. A single captive. What is the meaning of Vayishma haKnani? What does it mean? He heard. So Rashi says Vayishma haKnani means Shoma Shamei Saharin. They heard that Aaron had died. And the Nistalko Anani covered. And the clouds of glory that had miraculously protected them during their desert sojourns had suddenly dissipated. Kedisa, as this is discussed, Rosh Hashanah and Mesechet Rosh Hashanah. And here Rashi goes on to tell us that Amalek, Me'olam, Ritzua, Mardos Lisrael. Amalek is always like the strap that we get, so to speak, the discipline with. Castigated when we behave inappropriately. This is the stick and the birch. Hamizumen b'chaleis l'paranis. Whenever something has got to go wrong for the Jewish people, Amalek is there to deliver the sting. And then the question comes, why does it say Amalek? Why doesn't it say Amalek? It doesn't say Yishma haKnani. So we have this whole business of Amalek who assumes another identity in order to successfully prosecute his wars against the Jewish people. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on Amalek and Amalek's deception and Amalek's reframing of reality. I want to talk about this notion that Aaron passes, and in this order. Vayiru kol ha'edo ki gova Aaron, they see he's died. Vayivku, they mourn. Who mourns? Kol beis Yisrael. And the very next thing is Vayishma haKnani, the Knani hears, and Vayilochem. After he hears, he attacks. He does war. So what's the connection? How does this all work? Why do these psukim flow from one into the other? Interestingly, the monks in a monastery who made these psukim, who made the chapters, they ended the chapter after verse 29. They said, okay, that's the end of the story. Vayivku Aharon, they cry, Shalei Shemim, end the story. Then there's a new pasuk, Vayishma haKnani. It's a new idea. And they didn't have Rashi. They don't have the Medrash Tanchuma. They didn't know what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So they didn't know that, no, Vayishma, this is a continuation. To them it seemed, from their misunderstanding of the Bible, that this is a new story, a new chapter, but actually it isn't. And why is it that it happens that way? Seeing, weeping, hearing of the enemy, and an attack is launched. And of course, what does that teach us? So for this, we're going to go to our Biurim book. And the Rebbe offers us a phenomenal insight into the trajectory as it unfolded. You're all invited to open up to page Chafe. Page Chav Dalet, actually. Bottom page Chav Dalet, Tezvav. Midivri Rashi Nimtza, the Rebbe says, if you just follow along Rashi's commentary, what you find yourself now in the know of is that in the Parshas Misa Saharin, that in the Torah's narrative of the passing of Aaron, Reimez HaKosov L'shtayim Ma'eloisov HaMerkozius. The Torah alludes and indicates Aaron's two supreme virtues. Number one, supreme virtue A, which we pick up over here between the lines, Hayyosei Reidav Shalom, that Aaron was a person who pursued peace. Umatil Ahava Ben Bale Meriva. He was able to somehow bring about feelings of love where there was acrimony, hate, and distrust. Aaron was able to bring about good feelings. He engendered positivity. He engendered peace. He engendered togetherness, friendship, camaraderie. That's what Aaron did. This is between Bali Meriva, those who had a dispute, and especially, as you mentioned, Bein Ish L'Ishtoi, Aaron was one who healed marriages that were broken. That's Aleph. That's number one. Beis, we also hear another extraordinary thing about Aaron. We pick up from these psukim, Ha'uvda Sha'anani Akovet Bo B'schusei, that the clouds of glory came in his merit. That means the protective atmosphere that cocooned and enveloped the Jewish people during this desert sojourns was there, bizchuto, in the merit of Aharon. How do we know it was in the merit of Aharon? Because when Aharon was no longer, what happened to those clouds? What happened to that protective wall? It disappeared. How do we know that? Because the Kanani heard. It was Amalek. And Amalek said, oh, now their protective edge is gone. Now the fact that they had this protection that surrounded them, this atmosphere that was in, that was enveloping and cocooning them, it's no longer there. Now I can be successful. Now I can attack. And how do we know that? We all know that because they attacked. This is how we understand that this was only connected to Aaron HaKohen. So these verses, which speak about the loss of Aaron, actually convey to us volumes about the virtues of Aaron. But the Rebbe says that fascinatingly, these two details are linked to one another. Hahevdel bin Hamon, the difference between the manna, which we learned a few days ago, was nitan levnei Yisrael b'schus, in the merit of Moshe. And the idea of the mayim, the water, which was given to them in the schus of Miriam. And we talked about that a few days ago. And then now we speak about the third detail, which is the idea of anane hakovei, these protective clouds, which came in the merit of Aaron. So the thing is like this: Hamon v'hamayim nitnu l'kol echad b'nei Yisrael b'nifrad. Everybody got their own allotment of food. Everybody had, so to speak, their own rations. The water, you drank it on your own. Nobody drank anybody else's water. Nobody ate anybody else's manna. These are individual portions, divvied out to everybody individually. The ilu, however, when it came to the merit of Aaron HaKohen, he kifu es kol b'nei Yisrael, it incorporated all the Jewish people, yachad. It's like a sukkah. Everybody's in it together. It wasn't that there was an individual little cloud of glory that protected each and every member of Am Yisrael. It protected the nation rather than the individual. And why was that? Why was that in the merit of Aaron? We talked about why the manna comes from Moshe. We talked about why the water comes from Miriam. We didn't talk about why the clouds of glory come from Aaron. Why? The answer is, well, how natural is that? Oh, you could say, elementary, Mayor Watson. What did Aaron do? He brought about togetherness. So since he brought about togetherness, the gift that he brought us was a gift that was enveloping all of us together. And that's why the Anani HaKovei became Eschus of Aharon, because Aaron is the one who brought about the Shalom and Achdus Ben Bnei Yisrael. I would go on a limb and perhaps extend this a little further and say, I don't know if this is correct, but maybe this is also the point. What did the Kanani hear? He heard that the clouds were gone. So he knew that Aaron was gone. And what did that mean? What was Aaron's contribution? What did Aaron bring about? Unity. When the Melech Kanani, when the Amalek heard, the Jewish people lost their ability to be unified, he said, now I can strike. Because unity is what protects us, and this unity, Chas V'Shalom, is what makes us susceptible to attack by our enemies. And that's some of the things we learn from the narrative of Aaron HaKohen's passing.